Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Let's talk about the new interview with Donald Trump in Time magazine. The internet has gone crazy over some of the revelations in there. A lot of stuff we already knew, but really it's the attitude of Donald Trump post these trials that has really kind of got him fired up to be even more of a dictator and an autocrat than he ever was before. In fact, Hillary Clinton this morning, she tweeted, "If Donald Trump becomes president again, it wouldn't be as bad as it was last time. It would be much, much worse." She says, "Read about his plans as he describes them in the new Time interviews and take them seriously." And, you know, this is what we're really here to do, is to consider the fact that America is currently on a precipice. And at that precipice are two bridges. And there's a choice. One says democracy, the other says dictatorship. It pretty much is as simple as that. And what dictatorship looks like under Donald Trump is something that should be terrifying to everybody, Democrats and Republicans. And my concern is that Donald Trump's martyrdom has created some kind of, maybe diluted the effect of dictatorship, whereby people think, because he keeps saying that, you know, these cases are a witch hunt and it's election interference and Joe Biden's behind them, none of that stuff is true. But, you know, because he says it often enough, after a while it tends to kind of rub away the effect of how serious this moment in history is. So I just want to quote just a couple of paragraphs from the interview in Time magazine, and I really do recommend that you read it, and I'll link to it underneath this video. What emerged in two interviews with Trump and conversations with more than a dozen of his closest advisors and confidants were the outlines to an imperial presidency that would reshape America in its role in the world, to carry out a deportation operation designed to remove more than 11 million people from the country. Trump told me he would be willing to build migrant detention camps and deploy the U.S. military, both at the border and inland. He would let red states monitor women's pregnancies and prosecute those who violate abortion bans. He would, at his personal discretion, withhold funds appropriated by Congress, according to top advisers. He would be willing to fire a U.S. attorney who doesn't carry out his order to prosecute someone, breaking with a tradition of independent law enforcement that dates from America's founding. He is weighing pardons for every one of his supporters accused of attacking the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021, more than 800 of whom have pleaded guilty or been convicted by a jury. He might not come to the aid of an attacked ally in Europe or Asia if he felt that that country wasn't paying enough for its own defense. He would gut the U.S. Civil Service, deploy the National Guard to American cities as he sees fit, close the White House Pandemic Preparedness Office, and staff his administration with acolytes who back his false assertion that the 2020 election was stolen. Just a couple of paragraphs there, but really essential words that describe what the dictator Trump would do. And I think we think about dictators in Xi Jinping or in Kim Jong-un or even in Vladimir Putin, but because we don't live there and we don't necessarily marinate ourselves in the culture of those nations, it's very hard to understand quite how hard life is for people in those countries. And Donald Trump repeatedly says that he looks up to these people because they rule with an iron fist. And he says, you know, if they say something, then his people or their people stand up and pay attention. And I want that for the United States. Well, you know, that autocracy that he describes, he thinks that it's a good thing. That is not freedom. You are not free to leave North Korea. You're not free to do any of the things that here in the US we take for granted. And that includes free speech. What I'm saying to you now, the freedom of the press. Donald Trump has said that any networks that he doesn't like their reporting, that he would, you know, remove their license to broadcast. I think he would go much further than that. I think that he would actually take a personal vendetta to individuals who speak ill of him. And I just want to talk about something that, you know, I find really interesting is how he uses this phrase, this has never happened before to a president. This type of thing has never happened before to an American president. And I think it's very important that we push back and we say no U.S. president has ever done these things as you have. No U.S. president has ever broken the law in such an acute fashion. The theft of classified documents and trying to conceal them and sharing them with people who don't have any security clearance. Creating a fake elector scheme, switching out elector's certification, and then taking that into Congress to be ratified, effectively trying to overturn the election that he lost. These are not petty crimes. This is an attack on the American system of government and democracy. And the fact that people don't seem to think that it's so serious, I think there's two reasons for that. One is it's taken the Justice Department much too long. And congressional and you know Senate leaders much too long to condemn what happened and to do something about it. You know, a lot of people say, well, why wasn't he arrested straight after the coup attempt? And I'm with you. And secondly, I get the feeling that not just the time that has passed since January 6 and all of this stuff, but Trump's repeated language, his use of language, pushing the narrative that this is election interference by taking a phrase that was used, you know, during the election campaign and referring to election interference, which is actually something that originally back in 2016 was referred to when Russia was meddling with the election to help get Trump elected. That's what we used to describe election interference. It is ironic to me that somebody who colluded with the Russians, knowingly or unknowingly, to get elected as he did in 2016, and the Mueller report outlines this, is now using the phrase election interference, something that he and Russia was accused of, to describe how his opponent now in Joe Biden is trying to interfere with the 2024 election. It is not true. But the use of language is very clever, taking something that historically he was accused of himself and Russia was accused of and transplanting that onto Joe Biden, an innocent bystander, you know, an old-fashioned public servant who believes in bipartisanship and the system of governance in the United States and trusts the system to work. And that is why this is, you know, such a tenuous election and arguably the most important election in American political history, because we know, courtesy of this Time article and all the other journalism that has covered Donald Trump's desire to remake the system of government in his image, it's been covered time and time again. There is no shortage of coverage. It is blatantly clear to everybody quite what the decision is here. You know, Biden and democracy, business as usual, keep the country as a safe place to live and work and speak freely, or Donald Trump's version of America, internment camps and arresting people who are not on his political side. And then finally, the other thought that I've had about all of this is just how many Americans there are who think that Donald Trump is the bee's knees. Because of, you know, the way that he has framed these legal cases against him, the way he has framed this notion of the deep state and him being some kind of rebel, he's not. Trump is establishment. Trump is, you know, somebody who has only ever hung around the high society and tried to hobnob with the rich and famous. He's not a man of the people. He never has been. He was born into privilege. And yet all of that stuff seems to be ignored because of his marketing exercise of painting himself as the everyman. And I, you know, they're not coming for me, they're coming for you, I'm just standing in their way. This use of language, again, it's very clever because it flips the narrative and it encourages his supporters to think, yeah, you know, he is our man, he is our leader, he is a rebel. And actually he's really none of those things. He's just a sad and lonely criminal who the law has finally caught up with, albeit decades too late. And so because there is such a, I don't think it's 50%, you know, I think maybe it's around 30% of Americans who are like, hell yeah, Trump's our man. They think that, you know, he is a good person because of it. They put him on a pedestal because he criticizes the Justice Department, because he goes head-to-head with judges, because he claims to be exposing the deep state. That's why they like him. And the worse he gets, and the more offensive he is, and the more aggressive he is, and the more he kind of leans into this dictatorial role, the more they crave that. It's addictive. Because they feel like if he can break the law, then they can break the law. And to have somebody who is lawless, who is running the country, it's like the Wild West, you know, that they actually get off on that. And, you know, controlling women as well. You know, this notion of Trump putting abortion back to the states. I mean, everybody knows that ultimately a Donald Trump presidency will see a federal abortion ban. But not just that, it's the how he will then seek to prosecute people and go after not just women and their families, but doctors and clinicians. It's a terrifying dystopian future that he is calling for. And, you know, it's something out of The Handmaid's Tale. And it has happened pretty quickly. You know, it's been since 2015 through 2024, it's almost a decade, to see the United States fundamentally change from being a forward-thinking and progressive, welcoming country where you know, immigrants were celebrated because many of them built this nation, to a place where immigrants are demonized, women are demonized, minority groups are demonized, and actually the hatred, that real kind of the Jim Crow racism, which we thought had been confined to history, is actually ever present.
Root out the communists, Marxists, fascists, and the radical left thugs that live like vermin within the confines of our country, that lie and steal and cheat on elections, and will do anything possible. They'll do anything, whether legally or illegally, to destroy America and to destroy the American dream.
I'm Anthony Davis. You can hear me on the 5-Minute News podcast. Catch me on Wednesdays, co-hosting Uncovered, and on Sunday on The Weekend Show with Midas Touch.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.